Tuesday here on 96.5 The Fan. Dusty Likas, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, all with you in attendance the entire week. And then next week.
No, I'm off next Friday.
That's right.
And then you're off the following week.
Yeah.
And then it's football season.
And then we're here.
And then we're here for the duration of the football season, which is getting closer and closer. What are we, 3 weeks away from today, right?
Yeah,
baby. 3 weeks away from football practice.
Or 2 weeks today.
2 weeks from,
two weeks from today. Yeah,
Two weeks from today. 3 weeks from Thursday for the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And who says the summer stalls?
I mean, it doesn't. July is a very busy month. Think if you're a Major League Baseball executive right now. You've got the draft you're getting ready for and the trade deadline. Who the hell scheduled this stuff together? Imagine the NFL going through
that, right?
And I understand, look, it's the All-Star break, and you wanted to hype up the All-Star break and have the draft during the kind of the All-Star break, and it's a great move for baseball to kind of connect with the fans and whatnot. But all these people, like J.J. Piccolo spoke yesterday. For God's sakes, J.J., stop talking to us. You got a lot going on, bro. Seriously, it's like the trade deadline, the draft, and all this stuff is hitting all at one time in Major League Baseball. Imagine being like a front office executive right now, right, and going, what the hell are we supposed to focus on trades? Are we supposed to focus on the draft? I mean, there's a lot going on right now. The good news is about the draft, though, it's so much less than it used to be back in years past. And so they don't have to prepare for 100
less
rounds.
Picks, you mean?
And, God, by a landslide, they cut that thing off.
Yeah, so your July checklist is still MLB draft, home run derby, all-star game, training camp, and trade deadline.
Right, and you didn't even mention NBA free agency kicking off at the beginning of July, too. I mean, no, that's a big deal, man.
Yeah.
It's gossip. Yeah. It's craziness. It's exciting.
It's the best part of the NBA season.
Like, it is.
It's when a lot of people think NBA is at its best. So.
I saw a tweet yesterday, and it said, every move every NBA team has made so far this offseason, and every single team has made at least one move already this offseason, and we're in the eighth day of the offseason. Like, baseball, that's what you need to turn your offseason into, where the first week of that offseason, man, is a blitz, just like the NFL does for 3 days, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a blitz
for
3 days. Baseball needs to get to that level.
By the way, your 44 and 48 Royals are second place in the AL Central.
How bad is that division? I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit later on, but that division we thought was going to be great.
Second place Royals, baby. Just take it for what it's worth. That's what you are, the second place
Royals.
Right. I do want to get into something about a guy that I have glazed for the last 6 months. That is Jack Caglio.
I know that I'm hard.
For sure. And I'm, again, this isn't me, you know, saying that it's panic time. It's not me saying that it's, you know, send him down time. But I am at a point where I think he needs the one-on-one conversation with Q. And what I mean by this is not me telling Q how to do his job, which we can get into managers here in a little bit. But I think this is one of those things where you have the almost similar to the father-son conversation, or, you know, just call what it is, coach-to-athlete conversation. And just be like, hey, look, man, like, you're not going down. You're not getting sent down. We brought you up. We believe in you. And we know this can turn. And, you know, the similarity that's stupid that I'm going to bring up is, like, 1 year you can have a really good summer in golf, and the next summer you're like, you know what, I'm going to try to start hitting a draw, or I'm going to start trying to hit a cut, or I'm going to see if I can, you know, get a new, you know, iron and see if I can hit that better. And you see your game kind of diminish. And then you go back and you say, you know what, I'm thinking too much. I'm not having fun. I'm trying too hard. Just get back to what got you here.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do that, you tend to find yourself having a little bit more of a relaxed, you know, feel at the game that you're playing. We talked about Vinny Pasquantino earlier in the year. Worried about, you know, hard hit rate. Worried about launch angle. Worried about this. How's Vinny been since May?
Yeah, he's been great since he's not cared about that
stuff. Started having fun. Last night he was great in the locker room. He was just loose. He was joking like normal. And, you know, but also, like, giving the hard hit truth. Like, yeah, I'm not going to get into that, but, you know, we can talk about that, you know, later on, or we can talk about how we're playing as a team. And when you look at Jack Caglione, at least for me and my perspective last night in that locker room, he's sitting in his chair, towel over his head, kind of on his phone. You can tell that he's down bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, first at bat in the game, he gets one taken off like the kneecap or wherever it was, and you can see the frustration. Then he pops out to third, kind of had a hiccup of play in right field. And I just see that from watching baseball or watching athletes doing our job, that there's pressing or there's some sort of worrisome in his mind. And I think that there just needs to be a conversation where it's like, hey, dude, we still believe in you. We might move you down to eighth in the lineup or something like that, but we need to get you back to being you. Because if I do believe you send him down to AAA, you'll see those numbers you see on the board. You'll see that 319. You'll see those home runs, because that's not where he's going to learn. And I've said this 1,000 times, and I'll say it 1,000 more times. Sometimes you have to be broken into 1,000,000 pieces to build yourself back up, to get yourself back to where you need to be. He's played 30 games in the Major League Baseball League at the show, and it just feels like there's something looming in his mind that needs to be cleared and just gutted out of there and get him back to Cags.
Well, there's a lot to unpack with Jack Caglione. There's a couple of ways to kind of approach this. Number one, I think everybody's now seeing how hard Major League Baseball really is, from AAA to the Major League level. And when somebody's doing well in the minor leagues, it doesn't mean they're going to do well at the big league level, because it is a huge step. It is a huge jump. It is very hard to play Major League Baseball. I think it's 3% of minor leaguers ever make it to the big leagues or something ridiculous like that. So it's a very small number and a very small percentage of people. I think over the course of time, it's either 1,500 or 2,500 people or something like that, or it was a very small number of how many people actually played Major League Baseball, maybe 15,000 or something like that in the history of the game, right? Very small number of how many people have played Major League Baseball. And so the odds are stacked against you. The fact that he made it up to the big league level is, number one, awesome in and of itself. Number two, people have asked, should he be sent down? The answer is 100% no. You're not going to learn anything getting sent down to AAA unless you just need that mental break. But that mental break is coming on Sunday, okay? You've got the All-Star break. The 4 days off for a big league baseball player or any baseball player is an eternity. And so that's kind of the cleansing of the mind that I think he is going to get. Number three, this is the first time in his life that he's failed. And when you don't have success for the first time, a lot of people don't know how to handle that success. And that's the difference between being a successful big league baseball player and a guy who came up for a cup of coffee and never, you know, got there again. How do you handle failure? And I've been around this game and covering this game since 2001. And that's one of the first things I heard. How do guys handle failure? How will they handle failing at the big league level? If they're able to fail and adjust, fail and adjust, fail and adjust, they're going to be fine at the big league level. But if they fail and they don't know how to handle failure, then they're screwed and they're not going to be a successful big league baseball player. And so we'll see how Jack Caglione handles the failure, because it's something he's never had to do before. And a lot of athletes, no matter what sport it is, they get to the big league level, and for their whole life, they've just been better than you, right? It doesn't matter. They're just better than you at everything because they're the best athlete on the team and all that kind of stuff. Then they get to the major leagues or the NFL or the NBA, and they realize, I'm just a dude. And the quicker you can realize you're just a guy, a Jag, as we like to call him, right? The sooner or later you can realize that and learn from your failures, the better off you're going to be. And be open to that. Be willing to accept, yeah, I'm failing. This stuff's hard, man. It's hard to play at this level. And figure out ways to combat that failure. And that's how you become a big leaguer, is failing, but learning how to achieve success from failure. The big leaguers that do that stay around. The ones that don't, no, they sell insurance later in life. Jack facts.
So I think that, you know, when you look at, you know, how he's shown himself in the big leagues, it's tough, right? Like, we're human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you step on the scale sometimes, you're like, ooh, that's the number.
I try to stay off.
You step in the batter's box and you see that gigantic Crown Vision and you see, oh, 142. That's not what I've ever seen in my life.
I've heard so many players complain about that too. Right. Not just the Crown Vision, but they have complained about the Crown Vision because it is so big. But for years, even before the Crown Vision, people in baseball would say, it's hard when you look up at that scoreboard and you see 142 or 202 or mm-hmm. something like that. That wears on you, and you look up and you see that, and human nature is, I got to erase that fast. And then you try to get 5 hits in 1 at-bat. You try to hit the 5-run home run. You try to do things that you're not capable of doing because you see those numbers up there, which was up to me. I wouldn't put any of those numbers up there, but that's just me. Right. But I know for a lot of baseball players, they don't want to see those numbers. It hurts their mental side of things.
And we heard about that with Moose, right?
Yeah.
And he took the bus ride north, and then that turned around quickly. But again, we've seen this, you know, all the time when it comes to, you know, guys that get that, you know, that shock. And then of course, the other thing that kind of hurts is when, you know, you're not the only one. So all these people that get mad that the Royals called up Caglione, this is the way of baseball these days.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
it is.
They're drafting more and more college athletes and they're calling them up early.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, You know, you look at...
What, did 2, 4, 6, and 8 get called up this year from last year's draft, well, right?
I know that Nick Kurtz is up, and he went 5th. Cags went 6th, yeah. So there's 2 of them. And then Roman Anthony from Boston, yep. He's up. And then you look at Chase Burns, mm-hmm. he's up.
Yep.
These guys are playing. And I get it, like, Chase Burns is, you know, started off his game against the Yankees and, look, struck out the first 6 batters that he saw.
Yep.
And then Ben Rice said, hey, welcome to the league, kid. Here's a 468-foot shot.
Yeah.
And then his next start, he goes out there, he's tipping his pitches, and he's lost. And all of a sudden, you know, comes back in his next start, and he's fine. Now, pitching and hitting, two very,
completely different,
very different things. You know, you get 5 days off, and, you know, Cags gets, you know, a day off every once in a while. But
you know, batting, you don't know what's coming. You know, right. Pitching, you're controlling the whole thing.
And the thing is, it's easier to throw a ball than it is to hit a ball. So we know that, obviously. But I think that, you know, this team is going to continue to run him out there.
And they should.
And that's exactly right. I think that if you let him, you know, if you send him down to a league in which he's probably going to go back down there and destroy, he's not going to learn anything. No. You're going to learn more in failing than you are in succeeding. And I know that sounds moronic.
No, it's true.
But, I mean, you go back to the way that you've, and at least in the last 10 years in this city alone, how failure has benefited more than success. We're going to talk about the Chiefs today, about how last year's Super Bowl, bad taste in their mouth. You saw what happened when the Chiefs lost to Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game, right? Maybe we don't see the Mahomes that we see today if he doesn't deal with that failure that he had against Tom Brady in that AFC Championship game. You lose that World Series in dramatic fashion in 2014. You may not come back the next year spitting fire and kicking tires and going through the whole year and then all of a sudden winning that World Series that you did in 2015. So this is something that is a learning curve for Caglione. And yes, I understand that if it gets very putrid and bad, if he's hitting below 100 and gets to like 0.89, you have no other option. But you have a benefit of letting him deal with this, take the All-Star break off, come back. And again, if everybody's feeling this vibe and they start playing this way, that will also make things easier. And you know where his locker is? Right next to Vinny Pasquantino's.
Yeah, it's where
not
it should
a better
be, right?
Spot in that place to be. When you're down and you got this guy goofing around and being the mouthpiece, just sit back, relax, and know that you're here and know that you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, and that's the other thing he has to understand, too. They're not going to send him down anytime soon. Now, you're right, if he gets below 100, I should never say they're never going to send anybody down. But this is the best thing that could have ever happened to Jack Caglione. Come up here and get your you-know-what kicked in and figure it out. And that's what you have to do sometimes. Like, it's like being a parent and whatnot. You say, all right, eventually you're going to have to learn from your mistakes. I mean, we're going through that now with my daughter who ran into a curb, blew out a tire. Sorry, you can't drive until you pay us the money back for that tire because you drove into that.
But that's
going to
make her a better driver. That's going to make her budget better. That's going to make her work harder.
You would hope. Yeah. That's the goal, Dusty. Yeah. Let's see if it happens, right?
Because I learned that at 35.
Yeah. But we figured, look, you busted this tire. You drove into the curb because you were mad. And so now you've got to face the responsibility of paying for that tire. And when you come up with the $400 and whatnot or whatever it was, and you pay us back, then you can have your car back. And I'm like, hopefully that is something that, like, you've learned your lesson at 15, right? You've learned your lesson now. And hopefully this is one of those moments that carries you through your entire life. And you're now very careful with the car. You understand you're not supposed to do that kind of stuff. You learn from those failures. Like yesterday, she's like, well, I guess I'm walking to Walgreens. I go, I guess you are. See you later. You know, those shoes aren't proper, but whatever. Go ahead and walk to Walgreens. Of course, we had to go pick them up. But anyway, but you hope they learn. And that's what you hope with Jack Caglione right now. You hope all of this failure right now is teaching him a lesson of what to do so he doesn't experience failure again. And if he doesn't come out of failure, then he's not a Major League Baseball player.
And I do believe once it clicks, it will click. By the way, the Royals have played 7 games in July and they've scored 33 runs. It's a 4.7 average per game. So they just had to get June out of there and fail in June to succeed in July.
That's exactly right.
So there's a manager's list of managers fired. Because for some reason, that's what we like to see. Yeah. I don't know why. The leader,
you can bet on it. You know?
Yeah, true. The Brian Snitker, the Braves manager, 3-1. Mark Kotze, 7-2. Matt Cotrero on the list.
Flying up the list.
4-1. Stephen Voigt, 9-2. Mm-hmm. ALCS representative last year. Alex Cora, the Red Sox, on that list as well. A bunch of others, too. The one name that I think is on the list that's the best betting odds 25-1 for one Aaron Boone.
I don't hate that.
They are 3.5 games out of first place behind the Blue Jays. Yep. The Blue Jays just whipped their ass
whipped their ass. Yeah.
There was a good game. I believe it was like Wednesday or so. It was a day game. It was like Canada Day when Toronto wore all the red. Yeah. And it was like one of these, like, am I watching baseball? It was 8-0. Then it was 8-8. Then it was 9-8. And Judge hitting a home run. And George Springer, who's still relevant in Toronto, hit two home runs. Had like 7 RBI. And you're like, okay, but it's the Yankees, man. And they're 3.5 games out of first place.
Yep.
They were the world's team at the beginning of the year.
Oh, yeah, they
were. And they had a team meeting, didn't work. And 25-1, you know more than we do here in the show with Mac and I, that when it ain't going well in New York, 3.5 feels like 9.5, and then 9.5 turns into 10.5, and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, Boone ain't coming back.
Yeah, but that's, you know, they haven't really done that since Steinbrenner died, you know?
That's fair.
Like we all live in, like, the George Steinbrenner days of the 70s where Billy Martin was fired 5 times and hired 5 times, and I think Lou Piniella had 3 tenures as Yankee manager and whatnot. So they've kind of changed their ways a little bit, but, you know, we were talking about this before the show, about these managers getting fired in baseball and the Washington guy got fired along with the GM yesterday. And, you know,
Sunday.
And then I said about Stephen Vogt or whatever, we were talking about him. You're like, God, Stephen Vogt's on that list. And he's at what? 9-2.
Yeah.
Right behind Q to be the next manager fired.
Finalists for AL Manager of the Year last year.
Yeah. It just goes to show you what a difference a year makes for a lot of people. But,
NBA?
Yeah, exactly. But from a betting standpoint, like, I wouldn't put any money on Q to get fired. Like, he's not getting fired. The best odds for me are probably Rocco Baldelli. I've been saying that guy was going to get fired since March, and it hasn't happened yet. It's 7-1. Or Aaron Boone at 25-1. I think it's one of those two guys. I don't think Stephen Vogt's going to get fired. Because you and I were talking before the show, I go, is it his fault or is this a front office deal for them? Because, you know, they've let a lot of guys go. They haven't really replenished their roster all that much. And they're sitting here, what, you know, fourth place now or whatever it is in the Central Division. Is that Stephen Vogt's fault or is that the way management was running the team and set him up for failure? You know, a lot of times management sets you up for failure.
Also their window. Yeah, they're in fourth place behind the Twins. They're 41-48. That's a disappointment.
Yeah.
What would you say to Q then? Because management's done well. They've done what needed for him.
Yeah,
so what would you say about that?
I just don't think the players are playing.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I don't think this is anything to do with Matt Quatrero. I just think baseball managers are overvalued at times. You know, they make a difference in about 10 games per year. I don't think the manager has that much of an impact on once the game starts. You got to go out there and execute. I mean, he's not holding the bat for Bobby.
I think you think that about sports in general, which is fine. You think that about basketball coaches.
Yeah.
You think you can coach a football team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think an NFL coach, an observation.
Yeah, no, I think an NFL coach has more impact on a game than anything else because you're calling every freaking play.
Yeah.
It's your job. You are legitimately putting those players in position to go out there, and now obviously they have to execute and whatnot, but you're literally calling every single play.
Yeah.
Bobby goes up to the bat, and, you know, Q could go take a leak or whatever, you know, miss the at bat and that, you know, not be involved, right? And something could happen, right? And that's no shot at any, but that's just the difference between football and obviously basketball players, they don't listen. So it's, I mean, you've seen the huddles, everybody's staring at the sky or whatever. You know, coaches are dime a dozen in that league. But in the NFL, you really do have an impact on your team. You have an impact on a lot of things that other coaches and other sports just don't have an impact on.
Speaking of an NFL impact, and would you rather, or would Q rather, would you rather see Chris Jones lead the NFL in sacks, or would you rather see Xavier Worthy lead the NFL in receiving touchdowns?
Chris Jones is 20-1 to lead the league in sacks this year. Way down the list. I'm going to take the Chris Jones angle on this one.
He leads in pressures.
heck yeah.
Get to the quarterback and sack him. But I think it means more for the team standpoint if Chris Jones leads the league in sacks than it does if Worthy leads the league in receiving touchdowns, because that means something else. I don't expect anybody to be amongst the leaders in touchdowns this year for the Chiefs because they have so many weapons. And you know, Patrick Mahomes said yesterday or the day before with Kay Adams, it was all about fun this year. So fun to me means distribution of the football all over the joint. I don't think we're going to see a lot of players, huge numbers touchdown-wise, but I think we're going to see a lot of guys with 5, 6, or 7 touchdowns. And so I think Chris Jones leading the league in sacks, to me, has a bigger impact for the success of this team than Xavier Worthy leading the team in receiving touchdowns, or leading the league in receiving touchdowns. Where are you guys at?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think if Xavier's leading in touchdowns, that means, okay, is there an injury? Something's wrong. What makes this Chiefs offense so great this whole era has been the diversity, right? You never know where the ball is going to go. They can do anything at any point, and that's what we've talked about this whole year, right? The depth at this wide receiver room. I don't want one guy getting every touchdown.
No.
That's not good enough. Yeah, Chris Jones, let's go.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
I think it would be impressive if Xavier Worthy led this team in touchdowns.
No doubt.
With like Rice and Kelsey and Hollywood Brown and Juju, guys like that, Noah Gray, guys like that are touchdown magnets. I think that'd be interesting to see, like, if Xavier Worthy did do that, be like, how many of those were the little 5-yard flick outs from inside, you know, inside the 10 that he just, you know, squirts inside the middle and scores. But Jones is that'd be nuts, dude.
Be amazing. He'd
finally get a DPOY.
Yeah.
Better.
And then, you know,
that gets it done, right? He gets defensive player of the year if he leads the league in sacks, right?
I mean, that's normally who wins it.
Or somebody has, you know, like out in Colorado, some defensive back has like 10 interceptions and 4 touchdowns or something like that. I guess Sertan goes like wild or something like that, obviously.
Of course, that would happen to Chris.
Yeah, of course.
That would happen to Jones.
They would find a way not to give it to Chris Jones, you
Justin
know.
Justin Houston would call Chris Jones and go, welcome to the club, dog. I had that damn J.J. Watt guy for my entire career. Yeah. I had 20 sack season. Yeah. Just didn't win it. You know? Like, damn it, dude. So many times. Like, all right, Justin Houston, 21 and a half sacks, whatever it was that year.
Yeah.
Yep. You're like, all right, great season. J.J. Watt.
Better.
22 and a half sacks, 6 defensive touchdowns. Son of a gun.
I can't get out of my own way on this one.
Clark, just give him a check, man. He deserved it.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yep.